Everyone, welcome to the timingresearch.com Analyze Your Trade, episode number 148 for February 2nd, 2021. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today we will be discussing your trade ideas from the survey I put out earlier today to the Timing Research audience. And we are recording this at 4 p.m. Eastern time. So you should be seeing, or today I've arranged for the option professor to join us, and he will be analyzing the list for today. And you should be seeing his screen right now. And okay. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Great. Hi, everybody. Optionprofessor.com is our outfit. And basically, just a quick background on myself. I'm a graduate of Boston College. I've been in the industry here for decades, and I've done seminars for people on the uses and risks of options. Thousands and thousands of investors through hundreds of seminars nationwide. So I'm going to give you my opinion and my observations on things and tell you a little bit about what's going on. I've got a great list here that you've submitted, so I'm going to try to hit every one of those. And then I'm just going to start out with a quick overview on what I see happening here. As you can see, I'm giving you a 20-year graph. We're going to shorten them up, but I wanted to give you a long-term picture. The long-term picture right now is very interesting because you can see the RSI down here, you know, is nowhere near the high point, yet the market is at this extremely extended area. Now, that doesn't mean it can't keep going because this RSI is trading right now at 68. And, you know, if this market blows out the highs and gets going, you know, the RSI can go as high as it can go. But it is extended from the moving averages. And at some point, the markets tend to gravitate back toward them. We saw that in late 2018. And you can see there was a divergence on the RSI then as well, where you had a high point here, another brand new high in the market, but not a high point on the RSI. And you had a, what they call a pullback towards the line, the median. So again, we got another big new high here. Look how much it lagged. And then we obviously not only went through the to the long-term average, but we also went through it. Now we're way up here. And the averages come in at 3,300. Well, let's see here. Hold on. 3,257. And then it goes to 3,163. And then basically 3,020. So 3,000 ballpark. And then 3,150, 3,250 ballpark. You can see where these averages are right here. Will we come back down towards those at any point? I think at some point we will. Will it be from this level here? Or will it be from 4,000 on the S&P? We're going to know that very shortly because we're right up near it again. Today, it did not, well, as I was saying to people, we had a pullback to 3650 over the weekend. And then this on an Elliott wave study is supposed to be a wave three, which is a very powerful move to the upside. We've already gone up 200 points almost from the lows of Sunday. So the bottom line is that's a very powerful move. But I did notice on the 10-day chart, which I don't really have one here. Let's just see if I can get you a, well, on a 5-day, it wouldn't show up. Let's see if it shows up on the monthly. Yeah, it did. You see this gap here between 3850 and 3840. We went into that today. And the RSI seemed to be lagging when it was making these highs up here. Let me show you that real quick. Yeah, you see the RSI on the monthly here. We were up here at the high. RSI was up around 72. And then we made a new high up here. And the RSI was more like 60. So obviously that's a divergence. That told me that it's possible we're going to pull back, which we just did. Now we just had another rally here. And if you look at the intraday graph on like say the 5-day, it gave me an indication that we may have hit some resistance here because the RSI is not making new highs while the market is making new highs. You see this high right here, this RSI is coming in at around 72, a bigger new high there, and the RSI is down, you know, pretty much the same. So it's flat, not a huge divergence, but not a real confirmation either. So what I did was, we were thinking that this area of 3840 and 3850, which we ran into, is really just filling in that gap. And now if we cannot take out this neighborhood here of 3850 and 3860, there's a possibility we roll back down. It's not, you know, it's not by any means 100%, but what it is you got another little gap down here, 3780, 3790. 3800 was very important for the S&P. Getting above that took out this low here, which I thought could be resistance, but it did not end up being that way. Once it got through that area of 3800, you can see we popped very quickly. So bottom line is right now, the trend is up. Right now, the long-term trend is up. You see from the longer-term graphs, and you know if you're listening listening to TV at all, that we have a very, very extended technicals and sentiment and valuations. And so obviously you have to be somewhat concerned of vulnerability, but this is a wave three according to the Elliott waivers, and that's a pretty strong wave three. So if you do take out this 3850, 3860, you know, 3900 and 4000 very much come back into the conversation. So let's see how they close it out for the rest of the week. We got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and let's see if they can actually overcome this area here, or if in fact it could be a situation where if it has trouble, it pulls back down towards the support area, 3780, 3790, see if that holds. And if it does, you know, maybe they'll make another run as we go into the end of the week. But right now, again, today, after this violent move to the upside from Sunday night, I did think that the 3840, 3850 gap right there being filled and then not continuing could be an indication that we could see a rollover a little bit from this neighborhood. Okay. And that gives you a little bit of an idea of what we're seeing on the S&P 500. Again, longer term, you know, you've got long-term graphs that look very good. Let's look at the 1 year. Still looking good. Got violated here a little bit. First time it got violated since back here. So that's a little bit of a crack in the armor. But that low right there is something to keep an eye on, which is your 3694 area here. So basically that's your 1 year. Still rising on everything. And all three of them are still inverted to the upside. So that's all good. But again, getting under 3700 here and staying under there might be an indication that we are going to roll over and maybe go back and do a little bit of more reversion to the mean. Very critical time here because we're right up against the highs. Same thing here on the 5 year. But you can see, you know, the 3400 area where the former highs were would be a possible logical place to go gravitate back to if there was a reason to sell off. Reasons to sell off can be obviously the vaccines get goofed up, the cases start rising, the stimulus package gets stuck in the mud, and maybe this Trump trial next week, you know, causes a lot of angst. Whatever, you know, and also again, Q2 is supposed to be a little bit slower than Q1 and Q4. So again, there could be a number of reasons why the market could have some difficulty up here, but you don't fight the tape, and the tape since Sunday night certainly has been very strong. But I give you a few key numbers, I think, that could be key as far as the near term. See, that 3,700 number seems to be kind of important. So let's see if that holds. If it holds and we take out the highs, like I say, 3,900, 4,000, certainly in the conversation, particularly if it was combined with some great news on the vaccine, great news on cases, great news on stimulus, you know, then of course, you know, you can't fight the tape. But, you know, when I show you these longer term charts and I can show you these longer term averages so far underneath the market, you know, covered call writing, married puts, collars, you know, these are the replacement trades using calls in lieu of stock. These are the things you pull out of your toolbox if you think that we are at an extended level. All right. So that's the 2 cents I have on the general market. Let's go into your stocks and see what's cooking. And again, like David said, if you had any ones that aren't being talked about, feel free to bring them up. Okay, Western Digital, let's take a look and see what's going on. I'm going to go long-term, intermediate term, and short-term, okay? So obviously long-term on a five-year, this thing looks great, but it's extended, but you can't deny it's in an uptrend, and also the RSI is above 50. So as far as holding on to the company, you know, certainly it's not a terrible thing to hold on to. With regards to the six-month basis, again, came down and tested these averages, so obviously the support is at $48, and once it got it back above 52, that was your buy signal, and so far it looks pretty good. That's a little lonely up there, but you know, we could take that out. It looks like if the market's going to go making highs, this one might be the one. If we're going to pull back on the market, this also could participate on a pullback. On a six-month basis, the RSI still over 50, so looks fine there. Now let's talk about a short-term basis, like 1 month. Again, money came in. I think they had earnings, and I think probably the earnings came out good, and this particular sector is doing well. So Western Digital looks pretty good. On a short-term basis, lines in the sand would be coming in at around $57 if you want to keep it on a very tight leash, and then $55 an intermediate leash, and $54 on a longer-term leash. But clearly, if you're trying to hold it, you definitely would like to see it stay 52 or better. And in fact, if you like it, and there's a gap there, right, gap between 54 and 55, if it got down in there and held this neighborhood here, that would be the place to possibly add. 48 would be kind of a stick of fork in it as far as the charts are concerned right now. So you want it definitely above 48 and 52 if you're bullish. And if you'd like to find a place to get on, maybe you get fortunate if you get a pullback to fill that gap, but hold 52. That might be a better neighborhood to take a look at it. That's Western Digital. Let's go over to Apple. We've been following Apple pretty good. And basically, we have a weekly market update, which I'll talk about at the end of the broadcast. And we were talking about this all the way. It was part of the buy the rumor, sell the fact thing that we've been talking about, which means what? We knew these earnings are going to come out. And starts out with the financials, right? JP Morgan, Citigroup, et cetera. And they had a great earnings, but the market had already run up going into earnings. And so that what that means is you bid it up going into earnings. And then once the earnings hit, you sell it because obviously a lot of the information is already factored into the price. And then if you have a guy like Jamie Dimon saying that he's a little bit cautious in the near term and other guys saying they're cautious in the near term, that doesn't mean that people are going to want to plow in on the all-time highs. And so basically same thing with Apple. Apple ran up to like 145, right? Going into earnings and look how far extended it was, right? So the bottom line is, and they issued a little bit of caution on iPads and wearables in the Q2. So obviously that is a situation where people will be a little nervous. And not only were they nervous, they pulled it back 10%, right? $15 off of 145 takes you to 130. So you got a 15% pullback right to the line. That was a place to get on board if you wanted to. And so basically, as long as we're staying above 130, you know, Apple looks pretty good. Apple is a big part of every index out there. So if the indexes go up, obviously it seems like Apple has to go up because people have to buy Apple because it's a heavy part of all these indexes. Also, the company buys back their own stock and they buy back a lot of it. And so now they're floating $14 billion in debt that they're coming out with, and they already have a ton of cash. So obviously they're just believing that having extra cash to maybe do more buybacks or increase dividends or buy a company makes sense. And to borrow the money at under 1% for 30 years or whatever they're doing, obviously is like getting free money. So they believe they could do better than what they're borrowing at, which is not a very high hurdle at 1% interest. And so they are flush with cash. And obviously that opens up the buyback windows. So again, the view on Apple is as simple as this. If you go back on a 20-year basis, it'll give you an idea how extended it is. The moving average is at 70 on a long-term basis. So it's almost 100% above the long-term average on a 20-year. And if you go to a 5-year, it is trading, the moving average on a long-term average comes in at 113. So you're about 35% above it on a 5-year basis. On a 1-year basis, the moving averages have just been tested. But this is actually not a bad moving average to use. It gets violated a little bit, but as long as it's rising, you know, that's not a bad thing. So again, what do you think about Apple? I think right now you're in a hold stage. I think right now you'd like it to stay above 130 and for sure above 125. So there's your support. Because you see 125 here was a high there and 125 is a high there. So that should be support, which it was all through here, right? So getting under 130 or under 125 would open up a Pandora's box and it would probably be linked to the entire market having a correction. Other than that, you know, obviously it's a hold or you can buy what stops underneath 130, 125 and see if you're going to get a ride. So basically that's Apple. And again, they're in a high cash position and they're going to be even in a higher one once they sell these bonds. And that opens up the buyback door. And while it could get dodgy if the market gets dodgy, because obviously it's a big proponent of all the indexes, overall right now, you know, it's a constructive situation. Okay, let's take a look here at the next one on the list, which is Verizon. And, you know, T-Mobile seems to be more of something that I enjoy, but this thing does pay a good dividend, but it's on the defensive. And this is the problem when you get a dividend, because if the stock drops down more than your dividend, your net worth is dropping. But if it's an asset you want to hold on to for a long time, then you can do that. But let's look at the tail of the tape here on the charts. On a long-term basis, it's in and up. Oh, it looks like it broke underneath its long-term trend. That's not good. But the long-term trend is rising, okay? So you see it a lot. Not a lot, but you see it sometimes. You get violated, but the thing's essentially rising, so it gets back on the bicycle. It cracks, but the thing is just basically flat, and it gets back above it, and it's on the bicycle. March, obviously, you got the big crash, but the average is rising, gets back on the bicycle. So down here, you certainly wouldn't want it underneath this level here, which is about $49, $48, but you would like to, if you really want to get back into it, and you want to see the direction going north, you'd like this thing getting back above at least 56 and then 58 to get really back on the uptrend. Because you're hanging on for dear life on RSI. Your RSI is at 46, which is not a bad deal. In other words, it can go under 50 for a little bit and then go right back on the bicycle. But you don't want this thing taking out 48 and this RSI looking like 36. That would be telling you that something's going on at Verizon that's not very good. And again, a lot of competition. You got T-Mobile, you got AT&T among two, and you know, some sometimes competition and you got sprint, sometimes competition obviously squeezes some players harder than others. So again, a good dividend payer on the defensive right now. If you're in it, obviously you could do a hold on it. If you wanted to buy a put against the stock as insurance, realizing that you're going to lose the premium if it doesn't go down, that would be something to consider. And other things as well, other tactics could be considered as well. Covered call writing would have been better being done up at 62 when it failed at 62. After a market drops, covered call writing, in our view, is not as attractive because you're selling calls that are going to be cheaper and you're agreeing to sell the stock at a lower strike. Those are two things that don't sound good. When you sell your covered calls into strength, you're going to get a higher premium and you're agreeing to sell the stock at a higher price. That's when it makes more sense. Now, why would you buy a put down here? Because if the bottom does fall out, having the right to sell but not the obligation would be able to offset some of the risk of holding on to this position, because you don't know exactly what's going on. All you know is it's broke. Sometimes it breaks and comes back up. Sometimes it breaks and comes back up. But these are kind of nerve-wracking times. The fact that the average is still rising, I view that as a positive. Okay, so that's the story on Verizon. Let's go over to FireEye, which had some bad press, I guess, with some breaches. But let's see what FireEye looks like now. Okay, FireEye, obviously they had their problem here. Let's look at a one-year graph because they haven't been around that long. And there you go. Nice little, looks like a little triangle setting up. Came down and tested the moving average here. Obviously, good average so far. It has not been violated. So that's a good support area. You wouldn't want this thing under 20, right? And then, of course, if it can start getting back above where the highs were today, which is around 21 and a half to 22. So if you see a 22 print, that would be nice. And the momentum is, let's see what the RSI is looking like. Yeah, and the RSI looks like it has a lot of real estate to go up. So if you break 22 and you put a stop under 21 or 20, because you're hoping it's going to follow through, that would be one way to play it. And that's our opinion and our observation. And with the RSI hovering right here, this could be a very interesting time for this. You start breaking under 20 though, and then of course that opens up 16, which is where all the big support should be, because those are all where the highs were. So a break under 21 and 20 opens up the door to 16. And of course it would open up the door for the RSI to go south under 50. And that's really not what you want to see on a stock, is a RSI that's tanking. Today it had a decent day, but nothing to write home about. And again, still viewed as a fairly good company in that sector. So again, this thing gets above 22 and 24. Who's to say that somebody couldn't come in and buy the thing out or something? Who knows, right? But the bottom line is right now, if you're in it, it's a constructive hold. And if you want to add, you might want to add if it can break above some resistance. And then breaking under 20 clearly would be something you wouldn't want to see. Okay, so there you go with FireEye. And let's talk about Zynga. Zynga. Okay, on Zynga, what do you got? You got a pretty good looking chart. I don't think it's been around forever. So does it have a 5-year graph or no? Yeah, it's got a 5-year graph. Okay, so on the 5-year, let's see if you got a divergence here on the RSI, because you got two new highs there. Yeah. So like I say, if this thing does go south, it has made these rallies on a little bit lower RSI. See, your rally up here brought you to 77 on the RSI. Now you got this new high up here. So you come down and you find your RSI is at 58. That's a divergence, which means it could be short covering, it could be volume that's drying up, it could be something that will not last. So you got to be a little careful here. And again, if you really think this thing has big potential and the puts don't cost much, married puts is where you own the stock and you buy a put against it. Again, if you have questions on that, at the end of the broadcast, we'll give you a website you can and an email address. You can send a question if you have it. But again, constructive as long as we're above this 9 area, right? And it's trading up at 10:30, and basically the real support is right in around this 8 area. So that gets taken out, it would be probably stick a fork in you for some reason. And let's see what it looks like on a short-term basis, like a 1-month basis. Yeah, so it had a pullback off the 11 number. And again, there's your support. You don't want this thing back underneath 950, 980. And it's back on the bicycle a little bit, so it doesn't look bad. And again, if it takes out 11 and things get going, it's clearly a type of company that can that can go pretty fast. So if I'm looking at Zynga now, let's take a look at a 6-month chart. Yeah, if I'm looking at Zynga, goodbye against 980. Hang tight at 1033. See if it can take out this 11. Be aware that this high is being made on the lower RSI, which is not a good thing. And be aware that if you can buy cheap puts underneath the market as a hedge, if this thing has so much potential and you only have to put up 50 cents or something for a put, that's not very much to give up if you lose it, if this thing really has the potential to go to 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, or wherever you think it might be going. And I don't think it's been around for a long time. I'm not, yeah, no, 5 years about it. Okay, so anyway, that's the story on Zynga. You got to be concerned about the double high point here with the lower RSI. You've got to be constructive on it now because it's trading all the, above all the moving averages, and the pullback here to 8 area has held. So your two major support numbers, as far as I could see, would be the 9 area, the 950, and then your 8 area. So you'd have to be willing to do that. And of course, the RSI, we said, was right around the 50 number here. If it was at 60. So, you know, it's in a positive mode. It's in a positive mode. Okay. What else do we have down here? Disney. Well, they're going to open up those parks, and you would think that's going to be very helpful to their revenues. And they've done very well without it. So, but it had a big run. And again, the Disney Plus has been a big winner for them. So there you go again. These subscription businesses are very, very attractive to investors because it's ongoing revenue. And, you know, whether it be Prime Plus with Amazon, or these guys have their stuff, and now Peacock with Comcast, you know, as soon as they start getting subscribers and ongoing revenue, people really like that. Peloton, you know, that's what they like about Peloton. So anyway, that's the reason that you're not tanking here like you ordinarily would, because I don't think they've come out with too many movies. And I obviously know that nobody's on the Space Mountain. So bottom line is that this other stuff is making up for the gap. And again, looking forward, there will be movies coming out. Looking forward, people will go back to the parks. And so that's why this is a little bit of a come line bet for the reopening as well. Now, let's talk about what it looks like technically. On a really long-term basis, the long-term averages here are 120, 130, and you're trading 170. So you're talking about the better part of $50 above the averages, which in terms of percentage is 40%. 40% is a little bit on the high side. So right off the bat, you know it's a little extended. Bring it back to a year, and you can see it had its correction. It's back above the blue line. That's a good thing. Blue line comes in on the one-year graph at 171, 174, 173. So the bottom line is you want this thing to stay above 170 right now. You definitely want it above 170. You start breaking under 170, that would be cause for concern. The RSI starting to move up. So it actually looks like it's trying to take off. So this would be one that could, you know, could go very well. And obviously it did try to take off. It hit 180. But let's see what it looks like on a short-term basis on the RSI and all that stuff. But the RSI right now on the 1 year, breaking through 50, not a bad thing. Prices breaking through the moving averages, not a bad thing. So that's what it looks like as far as that's concerned. Let's take a look at the 1 month. Again, it had its correction down to 160. And obviously once it got above 168 to 170, that was your buy signal on the 1 month basis. On a 6 month basis, yes. Again, getting above 170 was a key. All these averages are still a little messy looking, but if we're going to get a rally to 3,900 or 4,000 on the S&P, and it's going to be a value or it's going to be a consumer type deal, this may continue up as well. So this is probably going to be dependent upon, are we going to blow out these highs and go to 3,900, 4,000, and Disney will probably be part of that game. And the RSI is indicating that that could happen. So, you know, don't be non-constructive on it by any means. But, you know, do you want to have insurance on there? Well, look at see what the puts are going for at 170, because under 170 is where the insurance would probably come in handy. And then if it's not prohibitively expensive and you don't mind, you know, giving up some of your upside by buying a put, then that might be something to consider. But right now, what would you have to say? It's above 170. That's good. RSI is above 50. That's good. And the money flow has been coming in today pretty nice, up 3.5%. And has it had its correction? It had one. So you've gone from 180 to 160. If you want to, and why did it go to 160? Because it wanted to fill that gap. You see that gap? So it filled the gap pretty much. And we're only halfway in, which is mean that's even stronger. If they can't fill the gap, that's very strong. So the bottom line is this thing's looking pretty good. But like anything else, you have to have an exit strategy or some defensive strategy, unless you plan on just holding it through rain, snow, and sleet, and sunshine. Okay, next one is Yeti, Y-E-T-I. Let's take a look at Yeti. Yeti down a little bit here today. How long has Yeti been around? Not that long. Let's go with the 5-year. All right, how far does it go back? Yeah, been around for about 19. So it's a couple years anyway. Anyway, so here you go. On the 5-year basis, there's your RSI and everything else. you're looking at a chart that's telling you that it's still in an uptrend, but it got extended. That looks a little bit like a blow off high, right? So the bottom line is just like gold going to 2100 for months and months and months, it's been digesting that. Well, this thing went from what? 15, 20 bucks all the way up to 80. So it's going to start digesting, and that's what it's doing right now. As long as we can hold these averages like 55 and 65, if you're a long-term holder, you can still make a case that it's good. And the RSI is down towards 50. Let's go to a one-year basis and see what's cooking there. Now here, it looks a little bit lousier because it is breaking underneath some support that it had around 70. So getting this thing back above 71 would be something that I'd want to see, because if it starts taking out 65, it could get messy underneath. And what's your RSI doing? Your RSI is looking weak. So on a shorter term basis, meaning a 1 year, it's starting to look a little bad. And getting some put insurance on here would probably not be a terrible idea. And if you're looking to get in, you obviously could defend 65, but our view might be, let's see if it has any legs, because you don't want to buy it here if it has no legs, right? And it would show legs if it got above 70. And there's a gap there, so they could go back and get it, okay? But if they don't, this thing has come from 20 to 80, and if the news is changing on this thing, is there anybody who's long? The direct opposite that happens when people are heavily short happens when people are heavily long, right? In other words, when they're heavily short stock and people come in and force a lot of buying and the shorts have to cover, you get a big run up, right? Well, conversely, if Tom, Dick, and Harry is all long and they're running out of buyers and the news changes on this thing, you get a lot of people trying to get out of the movie theater and you only got the one door, you can sometimes get some pretty big volatility. Longer term, you got the support here at 55 bucks off of these highs. And if it got down there, I would definitely, we would definitely find it more interesting down there. How about on a short-term basis, like a 1 month? Yeah, it gave you the sell signal pretty much when it broke on this gap down. They all say things that gap down, go down. Things that gap up, go up. It's an old motto or a phrase, whatever you want to call it. So once it gapped down, once it gapped underneath the first one, that was your first signal. And then when it gapped down here to 75, that was your second. And so basically since 75, this thing has been on the defensive, as you can see. So this particular one, it's on the defensive. You need to close above 70 to really, or 71 to really get it back on the bicycle. Until then, you got clouds above you, and this thing's come a long way, and ergo, it's got room on the downside if it wanted to fill it in. UNP, that's your transportation average, Union Pacific. I like these transports. Like they say, you can have all the technology you want, but you can't get big screen TVs from the Long Beach Harbor to Chicago by computer, right? So that's why these things have made sense. And in our newsletter, we've been talking about these things for 6 months. Because when you hear e-commerce, you know that the UPS and the FedEx and these guys have got to bring the packages, right? And then when you got a lot of consumer spending, you see Japan's surplus is going through the roof, Mexico's surplus is going through the roof, China's surplus going up through the roof. That means our consumers buying a lot of products. And that means they have to be delivered. And they go through the port and then they get on the trains and they have to get places. So this thing has made sense for a long time. Let's look at a 20-year graph to give you an idea. As you can see, the reason I like the long-term graphs, we like the long-term graphs, is the moving averages don't lie. They're based on price and time. And so obviously this thing got violated since 2011. Let's see how long back this is. You get an idea here. Yeah, 2009, we have a crash, right? Crashes don't last that long. They got right back above the bicycle in 2010. You're supposed to be riding this thing all the way up. Now the moving average is still rising. So when they get you like this during the big drop of 16, okay, you don't panic. Because why? Because the averages are still rising and a railroad isn't going anywhere. So then it gets back on the bicycle. You got another buy signal at 90. It was a buy signal all the way up here. And again, when it penetrated there, moving average pointing straight up, just like the S&P. So there was no reason to panic during this drop, because once you hear the Fed is coming, then you know liquidity's coming. And when liquidity's coming, the problems of illiquidity go away. And ergo, you get back above the number here, and you've been rising ever since 150. Now again, when you get this far away from the moving averages, it's dangerous, because sometimes it comes back down towards them. And that's why there is a risk for a correction at some point. Is it going to happen this month of February, or will it be March, April, or May? Our guess is it's going to happen one of those months, because again, the trees don't grow to the sky. So again, there's reasons to be using some put hedges, maybe doing some trimming, maybe doing some other things. If there's any rally between here and 4,000, because the higher you get away from the moving averages doesn't make it less risky. It actually makes it more risky that you're going to go back to the mean at some point. Okay. All right. So anyway, the good news here, it's a great company and it's been around forever and they're doing very well. Bring it into a 1 year graph, and they did get violated violated here. So our view would be get me above 210 and then give me a call. If you can't get above 210, then you're still at risk down here because it is rolled over a bit. On a 6-month basis, again, you broke trend. And again, I'd like to see it get above 210. And then that would make me more interesting because that would be telling me that you're back on the bicycle. RSI is just getting back to 50. That's why it's important to get above 210, because you want that RSI, which is at 49, to go up to 55 and 60 and get us going. And if it's going to fail from here, the RSI is going to stay under 50. And that means a short-term correction could still be in the cards. Let's see what it looks like in 1 month. Okay, so lately they did break the 1 month downtrend. You got the sell signal on this thing at 216. It dropped all the way to 194. That's a nice drop. You buy the drop, and then basically you're in there right now. Again, staying above 200 looks like it would be kind of important. So you're really in a window. You want it above 210, and you want it above 210, and you'd like it above to stay above 200. And that's the window this thing looks like it's kind of in right now. Yeah, that low right there would be very nice to hold, because if you don't hold it, obviously it opens up taking out 195, and then you're back in the soup. So again, this thing got nailed. Long-term uptrend, we know that. We also know it's extended, so we have to be concerned about that. And again, when you get very extended, you throw a couple of puts out there as a hedge. If you've made money on it and the stock really does have big potential, you know, losing a little bit on a put insurance sometimes is not the worst thing in the world. You can't do it all the time where you add up your put losses and it includes the whole stock. But from time to time, a married put is not the worst thing in the world to consider. Price them out, and always price out long-term ones, because sometimes people see if they look at a 3-month option or a 6-month option, and then they look at a 1-year option, the 1-year isn't that much more money than the 3 or 6 months. So obviously, if you're on the buy side of options and time running out is one of the big risks of it, if you can buy a whole bunch of time because it doesn't cost that much more than a shorter term one, what the heck? You might as well buy more time, because that means your insurance is in place for a longer period of time. So always price out longer term options in addition to your short term if you're buying them, because obviously running out of time is a big factor when you lose money in option, time and price, right? So price, obviously, you have no control over, but time you can, from the standpoint of you dictate what expiration date you pick. Okay, there we go with, now we got another one that's in the hot seat here, because this company's been doing great. Let's see how it's doing now. This is Bristol-Myers Squibb, and it did a pretty good job here today. Again, this was another one. Let's go back long-term, then short-term, and get all kinds of views of it. On a 20-year basis, where are you with Bristol-Myers? Not that bad. You know, your moving average is coming in all around 55. It's only at 62, so it's not like, you see when it gets way away from the average here, you know, that's when you come back down to it sometimes. So the bottom line is it's not that bad that way. How's the RSI? RSI is above 50. So I would say this thing looks pretty good. And let's look at the 5-year, and not bad. You know, again, it's all right around here, this 60 number, and you're not that far above it. Let's take 1 year. Again, that's a nice low point there to defend against. 60. 60 is a good number to defend against, it looks like, right? The last time it was at 60 or so, 59.97, was back in December. So obviously, if you're buying it here, you certainly don't want to take out December's prices. So this one is not too bad from the standpoint of it's not very far from the support neighborhood. It's in an industry, obviously, healthcare, drugs, pharma, whatever, that has a good demographic. And again, so I would keep an eye on this one. What's it look like on the RSI? Again, trying to get through 50. So if it gets through 50, that's a better sign. What would make it get through 50 is taking out this number here around 66. So again, it went up here and backed off. I'd like to see it close above today's high, which is 64.64. If you see a 65 print on this thing, that would be very positive in our opinion. Short term, 6 month, 1 month, again, back on the bicycle, looks pretty good. On a 1 month, again, back on the bicycle. These things are all inverted. Obviously, that's not a good thing. You'd like to see, like you see when it's in an uptrend, you want the short term, intermediate, and long term to be inverted to the upside. That's really when you generally get a big move. But this thing here, and that's why I said I'd like to see a 65 print, because then you'd have a nice 1-2-3 formation on the monthly. The one move up here, the two move back down, don't take out that low, and then you got the three move, and the three move can be very powerful through 65. But this company, has a good story to tell. It looks pretty good technically. It's not too far away from sea level as far as the support zones, and so I would be constructive on BMI. Chewy. Where are you here? Okay, let's bring the film out here. Yeah, okay, that hasn't been around a long time, so we'll go with a 1 year. Okay, so let's look at the RSI. Do you have a divergence there in those two highs? Let's see. A little bit, right? There's the high there. RSI is in the neighborhood of 79, big new high there. RSI in the neighborhood of 72. Not a huge divergence, but somewhat. I like the fact that it's holding the 50 number. That's very positive. And I like the fact that it's holding the moving average here, which is also positive, coming in at about $99. So you'd like to see this thing stay above 99. And today's low was 98. So, you know, that's not a bad, and that's a double low there. So hopefully that will be able to hold and see if it can get back on the bicycle. Certainly if it gets back above 105, that would be a very positive sign. So above 105, RSI starts coming off of the 50 number. This moving average is rising, and anybody who might have been selling it probably might cover their shorts if they're doing it. And that might be a good number to look for in order to get momentum back going. 6 months, again, you know, had a test, hanging on a little bit here. It's up in the aftermarket. 1 month, not so much. That's why I say, you see the resistance here, 104. So, you know, you get a 105 print, you're above all this. You get a 105 print, your RSI would get above 50, and that would make it more interesting. Sometimes it's better, you know, to buy something that's higher than where it's trading if you can get momentum behind it, rather than buying something that is lower in price. Sometimes they call that catch a falling knife. This particular one is not a falling knife, but it is in a situation where it needs to get some legs if it has any real future. And the legs includes getting above 104 and 106, 105. But, you know, like I say, it's getting a bit of a bid in the aftermarket, so we'll see. Maybe it's getting ready to go. That's my story on Chewy. Turning towards Pfizer. Now, this was one that another buy the rumor, sell the fact. You know, they had that good earnings and they had that great report on their drug and the stock went up to 46 and that was the best time to sell it. So let's give you a little bit of a 20-year graph on this thing and see how it looks. Again, like Bristol-Myers Squibb's, they're not very far from their long-term averages. This thing you would like to see get back above its average here, which on the higher end is going to be 38.5 ballpark, right? RSI on this thing on a long-term graph, see, it's hanging in there. You need this thing to start getting stronger simply because you don't want that RSI just deteriorating much more than it is right now. That's on a 20-year graph. Let's look at the 1 year. Yeah, again, it's on the defensive here. So in this particular case, something's going on that's not very helpful for this company. I don't know if they're going to get a bad report on one of their drugs or something, but obviously it's on the defensive right now. And so this thing, like I told you on the long-term graph, getting above 38, if it has any future in the 40s, must occur. So, you know, this might be one to keep on the monitor list, because again, the RSI looks lousy too. Again, these things can sometimes pop out of the blue, like right here, but you can see, you know, and again, let's look at the divergence on the RSI here. You know, you had a little bit of one, not too bad. Okay. So anyway, it's on the defensive. If you own it, obviously having some put hedges on, doing covered calls up here was the way to go. And if you want to get into it, you know, obviously if you just like the dollar cost average, hoping it won't break 32 and 30, that's one way of doing it. But if you're looking for momentum, I don't see you getting that until you get above 37 and 38. And then at that point, you might have something cooking. Good company, obviously, big pipeline and a lot of stuff going on, but right now on the defensive. And certainly it was a sell the fact thing when they came out with that good news. What else we have here? We got Netflix. Let's see how part of the fangs are doing. Okay, Netflix. You know, they got tons of subscribers. Was it 200 million they got the other time they announced? So obviously, again, anything with the subscriber business, Wall Street loves, because again, it's ongoing revenue and ongoing revenue is attractive to people. So again, this is obviously the king of the ongoing revenue. And basically, let's look at it on a long-term graph. Again, you know, very extended and the RSI, again, very much diverging here with all this move up here. So if this thing blows out 600 and turns into a Tesla deal, then obviously the RSI, which is here, won't be a diverging one. It'll probably go up towards 100 like it did back here. But that high point there still is a high point that has not been taken out. And we are pretty far away from the averages. So like all the markets, this is why people are thinking that they're a little extended. On a one-year graph, again, when it comes back to the averages, a better place to play ball. So 520, it comes back to the averages. That's where you want to play ball. That's also a good place to defend. You certainly don't want this thing back under 520. And that low point is 515. So there's your line in the sand if you want to stay with this thing. How's the RSI looking? RSI looks like it's going back up. This could be a big mover. If the markets are going to keep going, this is going to be part of it. It had a big gap, so it came down and filled it. So if you're bullish on this thing, your opportunity is when they fill the gap, hold that high point. That's where you take your shot, and now it's going good. If you haven't got in there yet, if you do get in here now, there's your get out area as far as where it should stay above, which is your 520, 515 area. On a short-term basis, Again, you know, you'd like it maybe just a little bit stronger than here. And the aftermarket is trading at 547. It's down. Why would it be down? Because it's having some trouble at 555. You see, there was a little gap there, kind of just like I said on the S&P, where the S&P had that gap, 3840, 3850. After it fills that gap, if it starts to roll over, that could be the end of the rally. Might not be, but you certainly have to give it some credence until we get above 560. So you get above 560, and then basically it's got a pretty good green light at that point. RSI is right there at 50. So you need these things to not lose their altitude after they bounce. Big drop there, come back up. Is this just a dead cat bounce and that's the high point? So far, you could make a case for that. If you start taking out 560, then assaulting this 595 would come into play because the RSI is coming off of a 50 number. So very key time for Netflix. You'd like to stay above 530, 515. You'd love to get it above 555, 560, 565 there. So there's your window. And once it gets above resistance, as you can see, sometimes it follows through pretty good. So looks pretty constructive. 515, 520 is a good support area. And again, we'll have to see how things pan out here in the near term with some of these markets having filled some gaps. We'll have to see how they do. Next one is going to be NVIDIA. This one's been a home run for everybody. Okay, NVIDIA up big today. Again, these guys are in all the consoles and everything. And you can see Activision has been doing pretty good and all the gaming stuff. I think college basketball came out with a new deal. But let's see what it looks like overall, because I think it's pretty extended. Yeah, that's pretty extended. So the bottom line is the problem there is your moving average on the long-term basis is 286 and you're trading at 542. When you get 100% above the long-term averages, sometimes that's a problem. This thing looks like it's forming a little bit of a pennant there. So if it breaks under 500, it could get very volatile. So again, you got a little pendant formation, wedge, whatever you want to call it. And getting under 500 would be a negative resolution. Getting above the 550 area and 570 area would be much better. So those are some good numbers, I think, to keep an eye on there. Let's turn it to a shorter term one, like a 1 year. Again, it hasn't been doing much. So is this distribution or accumulation? It looks like it's trying to say that it was accumulation. And if we take out 560, like I mentioned, that would confirm a little bit that maybe we're getting back on the bicycle. So keep an eye on it here above 560. Your RSI looks like it's trying to go. So again, you break above 560, RSI gets moving. You'd be in pretty good shape to see a pretty good size rally in Netflix. And again, conversely, since you're not very far from 50 on the RSI and everything, RSI is at 54. You really don't want this thing underneath 500 and even 515. So you got a pretty good window to work with. And again, the beautiful thing here is if this thing has been accumulating, if you measure the width of this accumulation and add it to the breakout point, this thing has a lot of potential on the upside. So again, not out of the woods yet, but certainly percolating. And keep an eye on it because it could have something to show. But you got good parameters there, 560 and 515. This is one of our favorites because we were pretty much keen on this thing since $5 and $10 and $15, and it ran through the roof. Now, it's not running through the roof because, like anything, it doesn't grow to the sky. So again, FCX is Freeport-McMoRan. And copper prices have done great, and so has this thing. So going back on a 20-year basis, it shows you that longer term, it's still got plenty of potential. Because look at this. You're up there, and now you're up there, and then you come all the way down here. Now, our belief is when anything like this company, where you feel like they're not going out of business, like Exxon, like Chevron, maybe even Halliburton, and Occidental Petroleum, when they go down to when they're single digits like this, you're buying an option. What does that mean? It means you have the right to, you have the ownership of it at $5, and unless they go belly up and default on all the common stock, you can hold it for as long as you'd like. And obviously, anybody who bought it under 10, and we did, we were focused on it in the 10 area, because see, once it gets above 10, that's your signal. Once it gets above 15, that's your real signal. And so obviously, when you're this far away from the moving averages, this is the time you do your covered call writing. This is the time you do your sell calls and take the premiums and buy puts. These are things that we talk about in the newsletter each week. And if you have questions, it's questions you can send by email, and we can try to answer your question. But you know, when you get into something like this, defensive tactics make a lot of sense because you know the trees don't grow to the sky. And again, that's a pretty big pullback. So now you look at it on a 1 year basis and you'll see we got the sell signals up here above 30. And you see the RSI was probably fading. You know, you're going up here and your RSI is fading. You know, that's a sell signal. That means it's drying up. So what you do there is you trim. What you do up there is you replace it with call options. So all you can lose is the premium. What you do up there is you sell calls and buy puts. Take the premium off the call, buy your put, and then you have insurance. Okay, but now again, it's in an area where it's trying to get maybe back on the bicycle. So you know the drop here, which is right where those highs were, is a good place to what? To use as a defensive area. Well, anything you buy, buy, you've got to be willing to defend to $24. Now, on the upside, it would be very helpful to get above the 30 number again, or even 29 would be good. But above 30 would be very good, because see that resistance there, that the lows, that could be resistance. So above 30 would be very interesting again. And again, under 26 and 24 means that the winds of change are blowing. And that's basically Freeport Macaron. Turning towards DraftKings, this one was a big favorite because obviously it's got big names involved and gaming is a very big thing. And so obviously this is one of the Cadillacs of online gaming, online betting. And so they got big names involved. So people think you buy this one and put it away, you should do fine. But like anything, they're going to have competition and other things, but they got a catchy name and they're doing pretty good. So look at it on a five-year basis because it hadn't been around that long. Actually, look at it on a one-year basis, it'd be better. And you can see that, again, when the market gets way away from the averages, you want to see a tank job. You want to see it hold these lows. And so obviously that's what you got. Once you got back above the blue line here, the blue line is rising. So even this shouldn't bother you because the blue line is rising. And so basically this thing was a get back in at 45. It held 45 and now you're reaping some more rewards. Is it going to take off? That RSI is indicating it could. And of course it's above all this resistance. So it looks pretty darn strong. Again, support is underneath these lows here, which comes in around 50 to 52. So 50 to 52 would be a good line in the sand if you're in there. And again, enjoy the ride because it is breaking out to the upside. And again, it's in a very volatile sector, which anything can happen in. In the aftermarket, it's up just a little bit. Not the most ideal place to jump in because obviously it's extended. But any pullbacks, if we can hold 50 and 52, you know, obviously that would be your lines in the sand. And maybe, a dollar cost averaging thing wouldn't be a terrible way to go. All right, optionprofessor.com. The way you get our weekly update, which is free of charge, is by sending your email over to optionprofessor.com. Put in your email, and then you're on the list to get a free newsletter once a week. Stock market, bond market, international markets of the dollar, currency, gold, silver, platinum, copper, soybeans, sugar, coffee, interest rates, you know, the treasury bond market. We cover an entire litany of what's going on out there. We have experience of decades on this, and it's our opinion and it's our observations that we share. So again, and if you have questions, you go to optionprofessor@gmail.com, shoot in your question. And if we can give you an answer that makes any sense, where we have some information backing the answer, we'll give you our opinion and our observation on what you're talking about if we have one. If not, we'll respond accordingly that way. But anyway, optionprofessor@gmail.com and optionprofessor.com to put in your email so we can keep in touch on all these things that we're talking about. There's many, many other things that we follow that we did not cover on this list. So there's a lot of value to it in our opinion. And then of course, at free of charge to get the weekly update, that's a pretty good deal. Okay, so there you go. Good to be with you this day. Big day for the markets. We'll have to see what happens. I gave you some good support and resistance points to keep an eye on. And I'm going to turn it back over to David. Thanks a lot for being here, guys. We'll be back with you soon and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube or your favorite podcast app or directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to any of the past shows and events, including this one, as soon as I can get it posted. And just want to thank my guests again for today, the Option Professor of optionprofessor.com. Thanks, everyone.